The Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. Willie Donick out today. And we'll talk about Willie in just a moment. Willie is getting a much-deserved, much-needed
voice break.
Voice break. A picturesque day in our fair city. Beautiful weather. Mm-hmm. So we hope you are having a wonderful Wednesday. And I do want to start the show by giving Willie Donick his flowers. Mm-hmm. Because if you have been listening to our show or watching the FanDuel Sports Network broadcasts over the past couple of days, you've probably noticed that Willie is losing his voice. He has gutted through back-to-back games for the Predators, so we told him to take it easy today. We hope to have Willie back tomorrow. The Predators are back in action tomorrow. A busy schedule. So we told Willie, just take it easy today. You deserve it. So we've got you covered.
He deserves it, like you said. What a game he called yesterday. And I know it was, you know, it was hard for him, you know, to try to rest his voice in a situation like that. They even brought Hal up, you know, to the booth to give him a little reprieve, you know. But Willie gutted it out, and it's just too bad that the game ended the way it did.
And we'll get to that.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that.
But he gutted it out, and that's, you know, that's the thing when you know, you're covering a team, a sports team like that. It's like, man, even when you're not feeling well, you got to cut it through. You have to. And, you know, Willie's been on his, I think, what is it, 9 games in 15 days, something like that?
It's a condensed schedule this season.
Yeah,
yep.
A lot of traveling. So I'm no, him doing all the talking, a lot of talking, eventually it does wear you down, I'm sure. But hopefully, you know, with the day's rest, he's able to be back up and going by tomorrow.
That was Willie's. Friday. That was Willie's flu game.
Yeah, yeah, that's the Michael Jordan game.
The worst thing, by the way, that can happen in a game, being called by a play-by-play broadcaster with a sore throat, is a buzzer beater.
Yes,
and that's what happened when Steven Stamkos forced overtime last night. David, will you please play Willie's call of Stamkos' game tying goal?
Sitting around, taken there by Eriksson Ek. It's kept in, 2 seconds. Stamkos, one-timer, he scores! Oh! Steven Stamkos ties it! That's going to count!
So they're trying to...
Oh,
that
man.
Hurts listening to him.
It hurts my throat,
man,
hearing Willie's voice in that clip. Oh, my goodness.
There was nothing he can do. He had to go with it. He just had to go with the flow.
That's going on the Willie Donick highlight reel.
Yes.
Absolutely. So we will have you covered today as Willie rests his velvety pipes. We hope to have Willie back on the show tomorrow. The Predators are back in action tomorrow against the Flyers at Bridgestone Arena. A couple of texters. One on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, Willie sounded rough last night. I was cracking up. Joey from Bellevue says, Willie gutting it out is like D-Mace playing through his injuries. Amazing. Plus, it didn't help with Mace arguing with him yesterday about Jeffrey Simmons. That is true.
But Willie, he asked for that. He was pushing it too.
But as I always say, the one thing that I try to do every show is to push either your buttons or Willie's buttons. And when the two of you go at it, that's the best stuff. So perhaps I brought it along. Maybe I'm a little bit at fault for Willie sounding so hoarse. But Willie, get well soon, friend. Hopefully we'll see you tomorrow. Also, at the risk of sounding like a homer, the Predators got hosed last night. Mm. Absolutely hosed last night in their 3-2 overtime loss to the Wild. So as you saw or heard, you may have also seen it if you were watching the game, Steven Stamkos forces overtime at the buzzer in regulation. By the way, that was tied for the latest game-tying goal in franchise history. The Wild won the game on an awarded goal after Justus Annunen knocked off the net during a Wild scoring chance. Michael McCarron, after the game, did not mince words, saying, quote, I feel like we got screwed tonight. And I can't say I blame him. So here is what happened. The Wild were attacking. It's 3-on-3 overtime. I believe it was Kirill Kaprizov made a pass to Marcus Johansson and Anenin trying to push off to stop the potential scoring chance, knocked the net off its pegs. And Johansson shot the puck, missed, collected the puck, and backhanded it over the goal line, even though the net was off. The goal horn goes off. The Wild are celebrating. The Predators are pissed. It goes to review. And the review supported the referee's call on the ice that Anenin's actions caused the net to be displaced prior to the puck crossing the goal line. Therefore, the goal counts. Predators lose. So, not to get too into the weeds on the NHL rulebook, but basically, if the attacking player has an imminent scoring opportunity prior to the goal being displaced, that player gets awarded the goal. I don't think Anenin knocked the puck, I don't think Anenin knocked the goal post off deliberately. It doesn't matter, really. The one thing that I take umbrage with is the idea of the imminent scoring opportunity and whether Johansson's shot would have gone in had the net not been dislodged. I don't think it would have. I think it would have hit either the post or the outside of the net. So I think, quite frankly, the Predators got hosed last night. And I don't want to sound like a big homer. I don't think I am a homer. I think I've proven that. But I do think the Predators, deserved better last night than what they got. But just a really odd ending to that game.
Yeah, it was. Listen, I'm not going to claim that I know the rules when it comes to this, or I was aware what the rules were when it came to this. But it did seem as if once he pushed off and the first initial goal didn't go in, the net was displaced already.
Yes.
It was it was clear before he even got his stick back on the puck again.
If I recall correctly, the post where the Wild player was shooting the puck had yet to move. It was the other post that was knocked off. Which is why I don't think Johansson would have scored there, because the net, the post on that side of the net had not been dislodged, and the puck, I think, hit the outside of the net. So that's why I have an issue with the call, because I don't think the puck would have gone in.
It wouldn't have gone in.
Right.
It shows that when he hit it, it hit outside of the net. And then he hit it again, and it went through. Well, the goal post, I mean, the goal was already off, but then it crossed the line. So he hit it twice before it went in. He hits it once, and I'm not even talking about the initial hit. The initial one was blocked. He got it off the rebound. Well, he hit it. The net was already off. He hit it and then hit it again. So if he would have hit it a third time, would it have went in? Would they have counted that as a goal if Anenin would have got it the second time on a bounce?
It's a good question. I thought that the review would have shown that the puck wouldn't have gone in had the net stayed on its pegs. Steven Stamkos addressed it after the game. I thought he had a good explanation. Here was Steven Stamkos after the loss last night.
See, a weird play. I mean, I can see the confusion, but the confusing part for us was why it was so emphatically called the goal. I get it. Listen, the net came off. You know, but if the puck goes in right away, no problem if the net's off. But he missed the net, and the puck actually bounced back to him because the net was sideways, and then he hit the back of the net, and it popped back. So my interpretation of the rule is that, you know, if the net wasn't off, that puck wouldn't have came back to him to have an open net. It would have went behind the net, and then the play would have been blown dead because the net was off. I understand the net came off. I don't think there was any intent from our goaltender to knock it off. It came off twice today, so, but just I mean, from our vantage point, it's obviously going to differ from theirs, but we thought the puck came back to him on the second attempt because the net was off. If not, the puck goes behind the net, and we live to fight another day. So that's where we didn't agree with the call.
Unless they are saying, because it has to be that he deliberately knocked the net off
the
post.
So that doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter if the goalie knocks off the post deliberately or accidentally. That doesn't matter when it comes to the rule that ultimately awarded the Wild the goal.
So why did they award the goal if they went back on replay, saw that when he hit it, it hit outside the net, bounced back, and then he hits it again? So why then give him two shots at a goal, two shots at scoring, when it should have been called after the first one once it hit the side of the net?
So the officials must have determined that the Wild had an imminent scoring opportunity and then knocked the net off its moorings, and by doing that, prevented the Wild from scoring on that play. That must be what the NHL's interpretation of this is.
So had he had blocked the second shot and just covered it, would they have called?
These are all good questions. They really are. And it's truly hard to decipher exactly what happened here. My issue with it is I don't believe that the Wild would have scored on the initial play had the net not been displaced. And because of that, I don't think the Wild should have been awarded a goal. Again, I had to go through. I actually downloaded the NHL rulebook last night because I apparently had that much time on my hands. I downloaded the NHL rulebook last night and found that rule. By the way, it's rule 63.7 in case you want to look it up yourself. And, you know, it is what it is. Ange Burnett bit his tongue in his post-game news conference. He did what coaches are probably supposed to do in that situation. You heard Stamkos there. Michael McCarron said, "We got screwed." I don't disagree with that assertion, but the Predators lose in 3-on-3 overtime again. They lost in 3-on-3 overtime on Monday against Vancouver. So the Predators, two consecutive 3-on-3 overtime losses. They will be back in action tomorrow against the Flyers. Puck drop at 7, pregame at 6, right here on 102.5 The Game. Brandon in Hermitage says, "Max did a great job reading the actual rule last night." You go, Max Herz. And by the way, shout out to our friend Hal Gill, who will join us in the 5 o'clock hour for Silly Underdog Picks. Yes. Got called up from the radio broadcast last night into the TV
booth.
He was
ready.
To help Willie, because Willie was struggling. Yeah. He was. But that's how much Willie Donna cares about the Predators, and that's how much Willie Donna cares about you.
Listen, when you Predators called up, fans, you got to be ready. Ain't no getting ready. Hal was ready.
Hal was ready. So I assume Max was doing the radio broadcast by himself for most of the game last night. So shout out to Max.
Okay, so what did you, because it was a back and forth game, meaning it was some really good defense on both sides. Obviously, the Wild was winning right up until 3 seconds or 0.03, whatever it was, seconds left before Stamkos hit the game-tying goal and what ultimately sent him to the overtime. But what did you see from the team? Did you see any improvement? They had opportunities to score goals, and they didn't early. But did you see a better Predator team than you seen that you seen the night before?
So overall, I do think the Predators have shown improvement in the overall process. The issue is that improvement is small, I would say, and it's not translating to goals. The Predators still have a hard time scoring goals. They are one of the lowest scoring teams in the NHL. As I pull up those numbers, the Predators are 30th in the NHL in goal scoring. They have a hard time getting past two goals. They did it against Vancouver on Monday. They did not do it against Minnesota last night. So although the process, I do see some incremental improvement, but not enough that I think the Predators are going to go on some tear. But at least the Predators are collecting points. 5-6-4 through 15 games, 14 points, a points percentage of .467. That's not great, but they're still in the mix, which is not what we could have said at this time last year.
Oh, no.
So, look, I think the Predators still have a lot of work to do. I think that Steven Stamkos, despite the fact that he scored last night, he scored the type of goal that Steven Stamkos and only a few others in the NHL can score, a long-range one-timer that had some mustard on it. Mm-hmm. No pun intended to the Predators mustard jerseys of the past. Steven Stamkos is one of a few players in the league that can score that goal. But he's still not much of a factor at 5-on-5. And it was good to see him get on the board because we've been riding Steven Stamkos for the past few weeks. But still have some concerns about Stamkos and whether he's a fit for this team and what the Predators should do there. So, look, the Predators, at the very least, they're keeping things interesting.
Yes,
and that's more than we can say about them last season. So we'll see how the Predators rebound. Again, I think the Predators got hosed last night, and that's going to happen every now and then. I'm not a blame the refs guy. I think last night was a blame the refs situation, but that's
definitely
just me.
Yes.
615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the Predators, let's call it controversial, loss to the Minnesota Wild in overtime last night. 3-2 in overtime on an awarded goal. If you have thoughts on that, you can get them in now. Again, 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, we have finally heard from Titans GM Mike Borgonzi. He addressed reporters this morning after the NFL trade deadline. A lot of really interesting things that Mike Borgonzi addressed today. We'll hit on those coming up next. 615-737-1025. D-Maze Vingan Adonic is presented to you by Bax Homeworks, which transforms kitchens, bathrooms, and living spaces into places you can't wait to come home to. Get a free estimate at baxhomeworks.com. D-Maze Vingan Adonic 1025. The game. Derek Mason and Adam Vingan here with you. Willie Adonic with a well-deserved and much-needed day off to rest those pipes. We hope to have Willie back tomorrow when the Predators are back in action against the Flyers at Bridgestone Arena. One quick Predators thought on our text line. Could that signature Stamkos goal be the one that gets him going? Well, the Predators certainly hope so. And as I said before the break, the goal that Steven Stamkos scored last night, there are maybe 10 players in the NHL who can score that goal. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be helpful for the Predators if Steven Stamkos could get going. But it's been a rough start for Steven Stamkos. He's been a non-factor at 5-on-5. I looked this up earlier. Over his past 50 games, so going back to last season, he has 10 points at 5-on-5 in his past 50 games. That's not good. Not good at all. So we'll see if that goal can get Stamkos going. The Predators are back in action tomorrow at home against the Flyers. Earlier today, we heard from Titans GM Mike Borgonzi. Mike Borgonzi doesn't do a lot of news conferences. This was a rare treat, I would say. He did it without Chad Brinker. And I like that. I like that Mike Borgonzi was there by himself, because when Borgonzi and Brinker are up there at the same time, I feel Borgonzi is perhaps too deferential to Chad Brinker. Maybe it's because Brinker has the bigger title. So when Brinker is there, more reporters want to ask more questions of Brinker. But I feel like in the past, when the two of them have done news conferences together, Borgonzi just ends up sitting there and barely answering questions.
Yeah, I think Brinker tends to take all the questions, and he sort of he's the guy that sets the conversation, and then he sort of defers every once in a while, unless a question is asked of Borgonzi. He typically defers every once in a while to Borgonzi, but not in a way where Borgonzi can like really kind of like be a GM and really talk about the things that he wanted to talk about. And I think today was one of those days where he was able to, you know, be more of what they brought, what I believe they should have brought him in to do, is to fix this team, fix this roster. He sounded like a guy that had a plan in place, understanding all the, you know, the warts in his roster. He was honest about his assessment of his roster. Also, he was optimistic about a few of the young players. So this is what I think the fans want to see and need to see. They don't want to see Brinker. They don't. Regardless if Brinker's doing a good job, they still tie Brinker to Rand Carthon and the stuff that happened. Borgonzi is not tied to anybody. New hire. So the fans want to hear Borgonzi. They don't want to hear Brinker anymore. So hopefully moving forward, we will hear more of Borgonzi in settings like this than we will the two of them together.
I thought Borgonzi sounded assertive, which I liked, and perhaps you can disagree with what he said and how he envisions the Titans moving forward. But you have to, at least I think you have to admire that he believes it. He sounds like he believes it. So you can disagree with his plan, but I appreciate the fact that he was so self-assured in what he's doing. And one of the questions that we knew he was going to be asked was about Jeffrey Simmons.
Yes.
So yesterday, when the New York Jets traded Quinnen Williams to the Dallas Cowboys, we talked about this. Willie and I said that if the Cowboys offered us the same package for Jeffrey Simmons as they offered to the Jets for Quinnen Williams, we would have done it without hesitation. A second-round pick in 2026, if I'm not mistaken, a first-round pick in 2027, and a young defensive tackle from the Cowboys. Derek, you said, absolutely not.
Nope.
Two first-round picks or no deal. So, at the news conference today, Paul Kaharsky asked Mike Borgonzi straight up, did you consider trading Jeffrey Simmons? Did you consider Dallas's offer? Did you get an offer from Dallas? Here is what Mike Borgonzi had to say.
Did you talk to Dallas about Jeff considering what Dallas gave up for Williams?
I'm not going to get into who we talked. We talked to 31 other teams for the past 3 weeks. So I will not get into any particulars of any moves that we did not make. But I will say with Jeff, just because you asked about Jeff, and I'm not going to talk about any other players here. Jeff is invaluable to us right now, to where we want to go.
When you say building for the future, though, as you did with Draymond, does that not enter into the picture with Jeff as well as you're probably your most valuable asset, you know, that could be traded?
Well, you have to weigh those options. And, you know, you say it's a business, but, like, when you weigh those options, you look at it and you say, you know, what do we have here? And he's a pillar here in this organization. For what you want. And he's one of the best players in the league in his position. And the way he works every day of practice, I don't know if I've seen a defensive lineman superstar like him, you know, just empty the tank every day at practice. It's impressive. And when your best player does that and younger guys look to him, that's what you want. That's what I'm talking about being a standard.
So that was Mike Borgonzi addressing Jeffrey Simmons. Remember, there were multiple reports leading up to the NFL trade deadline that Jeffrey Simmons was considered off limits. The Tennessee Titans would not entertain any trade discussions regarding Jeffrey Simmons. Now, Willie and I, and a lot of you, were like, why the hell would they do that? Jeffrey Simmons, as John Glennon asked Mike Borgonzi in that clip, Jeffrey Simmons is the one player on your roster who can get you the type of trade we saw the Jets make with the Cowboys for Quinnen Williams. First round pick, second round pick, young defensive tackle. But as you heard there from Borgonzi, Borgonzi is on Derek's side on this, that the Titans see the value of Jeffrey Simmons. They find more value in Jeffrey Simmons being on the roster despite the state of the team. They see more value in that than trading him for the assets they could get back in return.
Yeah, it would have been, and this is why it would have been really organizational malpractice once again had they traded away Jeffrey Simmons for this reason. And Borgonzi spelled it out to everybody. And I don't know why when I say it, it's like, oh, no. But then your own GM said the same thing that I said. They are devoid of leaders. Not only is Jeff playing really good, he's grown into that leadership role. And your GM told you on two separate occasions today, one of the reasons that Brownlee wasn't kept was because they don't have enough leadership in that locker room.
And we'll get to Brownlee in just a moment.
In so many words, that's what he said. And then he tells you out of his mouth, listen, we don't have many leaders. And Jeff, the way he's leading is what we want or how we want other guys to lead and him being an example. People, that means more than getting a draft pick or two. Unless you're offering me two first round picks, then no, because I know where my team is at. Y'all think y'all know where the team is at? I know. Meaning Borgonzi, that's what I'm saying. Borgonzi knows where his team is at. And he knows where his team is deficient. And leadership is one of the key areas they are deficient in. They don't have enough of them. He spelled it out. Cam Ward. That's it. When you talk about pillars, Cam Ward, Jeffrey Simmons, and who else did he say? He said DK's playing well. The young guys, but they don't have enough leaders. And when you are a ball club like the Titans, to just, disregard leadership, again, is malpractice. Every business company needs great leaders. Anybody, any company that wants to succeed and consistently succeed, they need great leadership. They don't take great leadership and say, you know what, we don't need it. We're going to let you go sign with that other company over there. We're going to allow them to give you a little bit more money. No, we're going to keep you here. Because you've grown into that leadership role. That's what Jeff did. They ain't going to just give it away for a second and a first. You got to come with a little bit more because he's worth more to me. So if you want him, you got to show me how much you want him. And obviously, a second and a first wasn't enough for the Titans. And that's cool. That is all right because I know that a team that doesn't have leadership is not a team. It's not. It's just a bunch of guys out there playing.
Weston Hermitage on our text line says, seems like the Titans kept Big Jeff for leadership reasons. Where have I heard that before? Oh, yeah, me and D-Mace yesterday. I'm starting to like this Borgomania. I am.
Borgomania.
Borgomania. I am partial to the Gonzi scheme.
Yeah, I'm still with the Gonzi scheme.
I prefer the Gonzi scheme. I can't remember what Robbie and Joe, they've got a combination for Brinker and Borgonzi. I can't remember what it is.
Borgonzi?
Berserker, I believe it is. Berserker, I want to say.
I like that one.
Needs work, Robbie and Joe.
I like that because it sounds like one of those men that used to fight with your little video game.
Yeah, like Rock'em Sock'em yes, Robots exactly. Or something. I prefer the Gonzi scheme because no one's ever been hurt by a Ponzi scheme, right?
Yeah, no one ever.
No one's ever had their lives ruined by a Ponzi scheme. But maybe the Gonzi scheme will help the Tennessee Titans get back to where they are. One texter says, when your GM says it's a business, but you have issues. It is a business. It's not personal. The team is 1-7. The team is actually 1-8.
Yeah.
Needing a great team in 2 years, it's really bad.
It was a business decision. That's what that was. I think people are looking at it because he's saying leadership, that's personal. That's not personal. You are a leader in the locker room. That's a business decision. We need leaders in our locker room. Again, I don't know. A organization or a franchise or a business that is consistently producing and doing well, show me their leadership, and I guarantee you they have great leadership that goes with a football team or a basketball team or a baseball team or a hockey team. Those that do it consistently well, it's because they have good leadership. Why do you think the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens and some of these other teams that are the Kansas City Chiefs that are consistently and just in the playoffs all the time? Yeah, they have good players, but they got good leadership. So within the locker room. So I get people saying, hey, listen, we need picks, this and that and that and this. But, okay, we go get all those picks but don't have no leadership. Again, picks, talent without leadership is just a bunch of guys running around saying me, 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 me all day. That's what it is. And Borghazi's telling you he doesn't want that. He doesn't want those type of individuals, at least not now, because he doesn't have enough leaders. So if you don't have enough, don't give away what you got. And he's playing really well. No, I'm not doing that.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Your reaction to Mike Borghazi's response about not trading Jeffrey Simmons. We'll get your reaction next. 615-737-1025. We will also discuss another player who a lot of Titans fans wanted to hear about from Mike Borghazi. He finally addressed what happened with that player, and we will discuss that coming up next as well. 615-737-1025. Join the Chase and Big Joe show this Friday from noon to 3 at Reunion Township at 550 Old Lagardo Road in Mount Juliet, a brand new luxury apartment community nestled perfectly between Mount Juliet and Lebanon. Resort-style living that you deserve. For more information, go to reuniontownship.com. D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingen here with you. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We are reacting to Titans GM Mike Borghazi's news conference earlier today. The first time we've heard from Mike Borghazi in a bit. As we both said in the previous segment, we like the fact that Borghazi did the news conference by himself. I liked hearing Borghazi actually describe his plan. And again, you may disagree with it, and we will talk about it more today and over the next couple of days. But I'm glad that he had the opportunity to articulate it versus Chad Brinker, who, quite frankly, I don't think does a great job in those news conference settings. Some people are more comfortable than others in those news conference settings. I would not classify Chad Brinker as someone who is comfortable taking a lot of probing questions. Mm-hmm. We were talking about Jeffrey Simmons, and we will continue to take your reaction, 615-737-1025. But Mike Borghazi also addressed a trade that he made like 6 weeks ago. Jarvis Brownlee was traded in like mid-September, mid to late September. Mm-hmm. And we haven't heard a darn thing about why the Titans traded Jarvis Brownlee. Now, we've all talked about how the Titans perhaps didn't see Jarvis Brownlee as a fit within the culture, which is what Mike Borghazi essentially confirmed today. Here is what Mike Borghazi said about trading Jarvis Brownlee in September.
The first trade we made with Jarvis Brownlee was I'm aware of it. It was controversial around here because he's a young player that, you know, was ascending. And, you know, you're evaluating the fit. And without getting into a lot of details, I like Jarvis, and I think he's going to be a really good player in this league. We don't have the culture right now sometimes to help guys develop right now. And, you know, we thought at the time, you know, just some of the habits weren't conducive to building the culture right now. And I know it's hard to understand because he was a young player, and I wish Jarvis nothing but the best.
That was Mike Borgonzi. And I thought that comment, Derek, was illuminating. Mm-hmm. The "we don't have the culture" comment. Mm-hmm. And Borgonzi did not address specifically what wasn't working with Jarvis Brownlee, but if you listen to the news conference, there were little breadcrumbs. Borgonzi talked about having a team-first mentality and having attention to detail and having accountability mm-hmm. and wanting to get better and all of those things. So you can connect the dots, and clearly the Titans thought that Jarvis Brownlee wasn't doing those things. But I thought that one comment within that clip, that we don't have the culture yet to basically make leaders out of these young players. I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, it was. Because the one thing you want to do, and this is what they have said, is to draft, retain, develop, and retain. He was a guy that Borgonzi, it came out of his mouth. He was an ascending player. He was a guy that was a starter on their team, playing well. He still had some growing to go, but I think he was playing well. But you chose to trade him away because this locker room isn't ready to sort of deal with that constant disruption in a locker room. I don't know what it was. Borgonzi didn't say. I can guess what it was, but then that wouldn't be fair to Brownlee. That wouldn't be fair to Jarvis Brownlee. But I would say this, that typically when you have a young player, because I've seen these things. I played with guys that had immense talent, and for whatever reason, it just didn't mesh well with the locker room. It just didn't mesh well with some coaches. So they, you know, end up trading guys or releasing guys. So there's something that was going on that obviously didn't vibe with what, you know, Borgonzi and Brinkard and, you know, Callahan and now McCoy, you know, that they just didn't, they didn't want to cause more harm than not. So it's telling because the way they play defense, you must communicate, but you got to be physical. You got to be aggressive. And he fit the mold of what Denard Wilson wants from his defense. So I wonder what the conversation was with Denard Wilson about Jarvis Brownlee. Did Denard Wilson get to a point where he was like, man, you know, again, I don't know what happened, but did he get to a point where he was like, okay, you know, I think it's best we do trade it, because ultimately it affects his job and what he has to do, because now he has to go to his third, fourth corner, and now they're even down even more corners. So they're playing guys that they didn't have, that they didn't originally plan on playing. They had to play them. So I wonder what that conversation was with Denard Wilson and the explanation that he was given, or did Denard Wilson go and say, hey, listen, this kid, he's not going to get it. Good player, but he's just not going to get it here. So did they make a move after that? Because this it seemed to have come out of nowhere. I knew they were disappointed in the holding. You know, we all were. We all thought this kid got too much talent to be holding. Trust in your feet. At least that's what I was saying. Trust in your feet and your hips. You understand the game. Trust that. Don't grab nobody. So they knew that was going to be a part of his development and him getting better. But it was this other stuff, some other stuff going on behind the scenes that they just frankly said, you know what? Immense talent, you're ascending, but we're just going to trade you away. And that right there, when a GM doesn't want to explain, he shouldn't explain, But when you say all of these glowing things about a player, but then you trade him away and he's young, yeah, something was going on in that locker room that not only did the GM say, you know what, it's about, I think it may have been the coaches first.
It goes back to what we were talking about with leadership.
Yes.
Because you know who Borgonzi would have loved to have in his locker room for Jarvis Brownlee? Kevin Byard.
Yes.
But Kevin Byard's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And L'Jarius Sneed certainly hasn't shown much leadership when he's been around, when he's been healthy. So I understand where Borgonzi is coming from. I understand where you're coming from. Borgonzi brought up the culture in Kansas City. That's a winning culture. He was around that culture for a long time. He mentioned Patrick Mahomes. He mentioned Travis Kelce. And knowing what it takes to win, knowing what you have to do every day to be the best you can be. But I did think it was really interesting that Borgonzi admitted, we are not there right now. Basically, we are not a franchise that can handle, this is the first word that comes to mind, I don't think it's the right word. Knuckleheads. I was going to say malcontent, but knuckleheads is good too.
Innocent.
I thought that was interesting. We will continue to react to Mike Borgonzi's news conference. You can as well. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll continue to react to Mike Borgonzi's news conference. Also in the 4 o'clock hour, we will get into the first CFP rankings. Vanderbilt lands at number 16 in the first CFP rankings. We will discuss that in the 4 o'clock hour as well. 615-737-1025. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.